Let us turn in the Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 34. Deuteronomy and chapter 34. On the first Sunday of 2017, we started Deuteronomy and chapter 1. On the last Sunday of 2019, we are finishing Deuteronomy chapter 34. A lot has happened in our lives over those 3 years, and we've been through much material in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Moses has been basically preparing the people for a new life in a new land to be lived for God. He won't be a part of that, because as we read today, he is going to die before they go into the land. Let's read then Deuteronomy and chapter 34. Deuteronomy and chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your own, with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley, in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was undimmed, his vigor unabated. The people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. The days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, to all his land, all the mighty power, and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Let's pray. We want to be aware that this is your word this morning. Please speak into our situations and circumstances, we pray. As we look to you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the end of 2019, and we think about what it is to draw to the end of a year. As we look into this passage this morning, we see another end. We see an end to the life of Moses. We see how someone who's described in verse 5 as the servant of the Lord, see how he reaches his end. We've been through much, as I've already said, as we've gone through the book of Deuteronomy. It's a book where Moses has, under God, given himself and given his heart and given instruction to the people of Israel that they would go into a new life to be for God, into a new land. It's a book about how they are instructed to live as people who are blessed as the Lord. They are to live as a people who are bound into the goodness of God by God's commitment to them. And they are to go and live in God's special place and reflect Him. And those are the principles which we are called into as well as Christian people. And that is now right ahead of them. It's a book about life. And it's the book of Moses. The book of Deuteronomy is his last statement as he wants to prepare them to move into the land to live for God. So what do we come to then at the end of Moses' life? I want to look at four things this morning. First of all, I want to look in verses 1 to 4 about how Moses sees the future. Moses sees the future. He goes up to Mount Nebo in verse 1, to the top of Pisgah. From there, he looks out and surveys the land. He's looking across over the River Jordan, and he's looking at the future for the nation of Israel. He's looking at the life that is ahead for them. He's looking at what the people he loves are going to move into. And he sees it. He sees their future. He sees how God keeps his promises. Verse 4, the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring." He's seeing there's a God who keeps his promises. Those promises made back in Genesis. First to Abraham, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. God keeps his promises. Moses, on the verge of death, has this beautiful vision of the land. The land promise will now be taken and entered into by the people. God sees the future, and God shows that future to Moses. Alas, as we read at the end of verse 4, Moses will not be able to go into it. "I've let you see it with your eyes," the Lord says, "but you shall not go over there." A disappointment. Because you know what? Moses wanted to go there. Moses wanted to be in that land. But because of what he had done at Meribah, where he had struck the rock twice, disobeyed God, had not represented God properly, the judgment of the Lord had fallen, and he had not been able, and he was not able to go into this promised land. And that's so true to the flow of life, isn't it? Moses wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, and we have disappointments. We have things that come into our lives through our own folly and failure. And we perhaps this morning are thinking at the end of 2019 of disappointments. Self-inflicted disappointments, really, because that in many ways was what it was for Moses. But still, that did not stop Moses from entering into seeing God's purpose. He didn't, as it were, just get bogged down in his disappointments. Deuteronomy took place after he had been told he wasn't going into the land. But God gave him work to do, and he carried it on for the benefit of the next generation. You see, God has a purpose for the next generation. What are we doing, fellow Christians, as we seek to be here? Are we people who see the future? Are we people who see there is a future for Feltham Evangelical Church?
You see, God is always interested in having his people in his place. That's God's basic working. And that is coming to fulfillment now. We have three senses in which we can be God's people in God's place. To be in Christ is the ultimate place for us to be. To be in church is where we are to be to live out this calling as Christians. And we have a place ahead where there are many dwelling places in heaven which are prepared for us, because the Lord Jesus says he is preparing a place for us. You see, there is a future. There is a future for the people of God. There is a future for others. We may be passing out of this scene, but we can be thinking about the future we want others to move into. That's what had really been Moses' life. Wanting to prepare them for that time ahead. What do you see when you see the children in church, everybody? What do you see when you see the children in church? Do you see nuisance? Do you see problems? Do you see the prospect, the future, the things that they can take forward for the kingdom of God, the land that they can move into as they come into Christ, as they become established in the church? There's a future. Are we building for the future, Feltham Evangelical Church? Or are we just occupying the present? You see, when Moses was building for the future, when he was preparing for the future as well, he was not preparing according to what he wanted. It was the plan of God that he was entering into. It was the purpose of God. He wasn't preparing them to go to Egypt or Moab or any other place, Assyria. He'd got this land he was preparing them for. See, Feltham Evangelical Church is not here to be the place where I implement my strategy and I have my initiatives carried out. It is the place where God's future is made known. That's why we declare the word of God and the all-sufficiency of Christ and the centrality of his finished work. And we declare it and say, there is God's purpose. Jesus and him alone is the center and theme of our plan. The ultimate place for us to be is in Christ. And so we are laboring for each other, brothers and sisters, to be helping each other into the way of Christ continually. I will love you, not by ignoring you, but by seeking the best for you. And sometimes that is saying things that are hard. But we do it to one another because we love one another, because we want them people to be moving forward into this future. Moses lived for the future. A future he knew wasn't going to be his. But he loved people enough. And God gave him a sweet foreview of it. I wonder what he felt like when he saw the land. What do you think he felt like? I think it was a mixture, wasn't it? He says, yes, they're going to go to that place of milk and honey and be blessed. Alas, I won't be there. So Moses, yes, he lived for the future. He saw the future. Verses 1-4. Verses 5-8, Moses lived and died. Moses lived and he died. How often has that happened in history? How often has that happened in history? Quite often. A few billion people, even a few trillion people perhaps, have lived and died. And so Moses is entering into the, we might say, the normal outworking of things, isn't he? It is an interesting thing. I don't know what you think about this, but I'm going to put to you that in many ways we live in a death-denying culture. In many ways we live in a death-denying culture. You see that, I
I think that's probably developed over the last 75 years. I suggest it's possibly because we're in a culture that's rejected God and says we can work it out ourselves. We can conquer everything ourselves. But actually, we realize we can't conquer death. So what we've done is we've tried to ignore death or color it in a different way. And where do you see that most of all? You see that at funerals nowadays, don't you? And funerals are no longer very often places where you're allowed to mourn or acknowledge death. You're told to celebrate. And it's topsy-turvy. And it's all part of this way of thinking that we'll get rid of death. Get rid of death. But actually, it's the ultimate nonsense, isn't it? Death is all around us. Death is real. The greatest of men die. Moses died. So we see what happened here. Moses, according to the purpose of God, end of verse 5, comes to die. The Lord had said, Numbers chapter 20, Moses, you will not go into the land. So for the people to go into the land, Moses had to die. So Moses has his life taken from him according to God's plan. Verse 7, we will notice that Moses did not die of natural causes. He died of God causes, really. So Moses, your time is up. Moses, you've served your generation. It is now time to go. I've got some news for you, everybody, this morning, that one day, according to the normal things of life, that will happen to each one of us. God will say, this is your last day. We don't like to think about that, and in many ways we exclude that from our thinking. But actually, it's a good thing to have in our thinking because it makes us realize what life is about, that we're not just left to drift. We want to make sure that every day is going to be used for God. So here is Moses. And verse 5 will say, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. The servant of the Lord comes to die. It's a summary statement of who Moses was. He was given over to serving the Lord. He lived, not any old life, but he lived to serve. Not in any old way, but to serve the Lord. That's what he lived for. What would they say about you as a summary statement? What would they say about you? A servant of the Lord? Somebody who just came to church? Somebody who complained all the time? Somebody who encouraged others? Somebody who just passed their time through life? What would they say about you? Would it be your interest? Everybody knows about your interest. But does anybody know about your Lord? For Moses, he is recorded as being the servant of the Lord. What a great statement, isn't it? He served the Lord in his generation. He lived to serve, but then he died. Interesting, it says in verse 6, he was buried in this place, but no one knows where it is. Interesting that, isn't it? We could speculate why it is. My speculation, and I hasten to add, it is only speculation, that his burial place was not known, because if everybody knew it, they would go and make it a place of worship. Because after all, it was Moses. Interesting how we so easily go the wrong way, isn't it? Last month, do you know what happened? They took, apparently, a piece of the manger of the Lord Jesus, which had been in 1300 years in Rome, the Pope very generously sent it back to Jerusalem. A piece of the manger, apparently. And this is what one lady said. She says, "My heart is beating. I'm really crying from joy for this event and thankful also for the Pope for this kindness that he brought to Bethlehem."
How sad, isn't it? How sad. People can just get led astray. It's as if, don't be led into worshipping at the tomb of Moses. Don't be worshipping any paraphernalia associated with Moses. Remember the Lord who Moses served, and remember the life of service which Moses lived.
So finally, we read in this section about how Moses lived and that he died, that the people mourned in verse 8. They wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended.
I think it is a most unhealthy development in our culture that people are encouraged not to mourn when people go. It is a very unhealthy development. It is natural to mourn. And they mourned for 30 days. Moses was a great man and he had gone. And I wonder, almost, there's sort of something lying behind this passage as it's developed. We've had Moses saw the future in verses 1 to 4. But now in verses 5 to 8, Moses entered into the real future. We'll read at the end of chapter 32 how he was gathered to his people. He was now entered the greater life. But people left behind, they mourned. They mourned. They mourned for 30 days. They mourned over a great man. You know what it says about one of the kings in 2 Chronicles? It says Jehoram. It says this. He was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he departed with no one's regret. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. It's a striking phrase, that, isn't it? They buried him to no one's regret. They were just glad that he wasn't around anymore. Would they say that of us? Well, they were mourning for Moses. But they didn't continue mourning. They had their time of mourning. But now life was to carry on. The mourning finished. Properly and appropriately. But the implication at the end of verse 8 is, now is the time for things to carry on, to move forward. And that's right and appropriate, isn't it? Because God's work carries on. Ties in with him being a servant of the Lord. He has served the Lord. He has lived and has died. Now the people who mourn him, they are to carry on. And they are to live as servants of the Lord. So Moses lived and died. Moses went to his resting place. St. Augustine said this, great theologian of the early years of the church. He says, you cannot die badly if you've lived well. You cannot die badly if you've lived well. Are you living well? How do we know that Moses lived well? Well, we have it in the Bible. But above all, we know that he lived well because he was what? Servant of the Lord. Will we rise up to serve? Want to know how to serve? Come and ask the elders, the leaders of the church. How can I help? What can I do? What can I be involved in? I want to serve the Lord. So Moses lived and died. Number three, the third point here is verse 9, that Moses secured the future. Moses saw the future in verses 1 to 4, but Moses secured the future in verse 9. How did he secure the future? Well, he had a program in place. No, he didn't. He had a man in place. God ultimately doesn't work through programs, although they can be useful. He works through people. He works through those he raises up. So Moses secured the future. How?
By the raising up of Joshua, a man full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses laid his hands on him. Joshua had been with Moses for many years. We read in Numbers chapter 11, and it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth." Moses had had Joshua alongside him, and Joshua was being raised up as the one who would take them on into the next stage of their being for God, that is, the people of God. Joshua is a real person, raised up. The people of God, it says, obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Here is a man with wisdom. Here is a man fitted for the task. Here is a man who can carry the work forward. Here is a man who will take them into the future. Moses is gone. Joshua carries on. Moses is gone. Joshua carries on. And one day they will say, "Philip Venables is gone. And who will carry on? Who will carry on?" And you can put your name in there and say, well, who will carry on? Moses had worked to secure the future. He'd prepared for this man. Are you praying to secure the future? Particularly, perhaps I say to the older ones here this morning, perhaps you feel you are weaker. I say, are you praying for the future to be secured? Every church is one generation from death. Every church needs a new generation of leaders. Every church needs a new generation of servants. Feltham Evangelical Church needs the Joshuas being raised up. The Moses will be gone, but the work must carry on. But if the work revolves around me, then the work will die and I'm a complete fool. Leaders of Feltham Evangelical Church, you are called to release people into service. Joshua is raised up. Raised up for the work. Equipped for the work. And the people bind in. And the work goes forward. It's the implication at the end of verse 9, isn't it? That people are going in God's way. So the future is secured because there is a person there. A man is secured to lead things forward. Are we praying? Are we longing for the next generation of everything in this church? Otherwise, we drift to oblivion. Let's be raised up. Finally, then, in verses 10 through to 12. What have we had this morning? We've had how Moses saw the future. We've had how Moses lived and died. We've seen how Moses secured the future. And now we're going to see how Moses lived and served. Moses lived and served. Moses was an outstanding man. It says that in verse 10. It's not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. There's not a man arisen of the like of Moses. The caliber of this man. The qualities of this man. The perseverance of this man. The man who suffered so much trouble and difficulty. But kept going. Hostility. Disappointment in the people he was leading. But he kept going as a bringer of the word of God. A remarkable man. But what more of him can we say? We can say this remarkable statement at the end of verse 10. He knew the Lord. No, it's whom the Lord knew face to face. What a statement that is, isn't it? Whom the Lord knew face to face. You see, he had come to realize that God has appointed that his people would be for him in his presence. He realized that the whole value of everything concerning the sacrificial system was that another would come so that we could be in the presence of God. And Moses realized that in his own situation. He experienced fellowship with God. He experienced closeness to God. He experienced what it was to look upon the face of God in the most intimate of relationships. He looked and he saw the Lord face to face. He had fellowship with God. He had intimacy with God. He spent time with God. He is there, entering into all of the blessings that have been won by the Lord Jesus Christ for us. He had them in anticipation. We can have them now because we have been won into the presence of God. You know, brothers and sisters, it's great to have forgiveness of sins, but it's bigger than that, isn't it? Do you know why it's bigger than that? Because forgiveness of sins is not the end point. Forgiveness of sins is the means for us to be brought to God. Brought to relationship with God. Brought to fellowship with God. So how's your quiet time? Going well? You're having your quiet time, aren't you? But your quiet time, dare I say, it's just not enough just to do your Bible reading and pray your prayer list. We pray and we read that we might be brought to God face to face. To know the reality of God and to enjoy the reality of God. Moses knew God face to face. It's an amazing statement, isn't it? But that wasn't the end of things, you see. That wasn't the end of things. There's that old phrase, isn't there? It goes something like this, that somebody's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. And it's absolute rubbish, isn't it? It's absolute rubbish. The people who are the most heavenly minded, who are the most face to face with God, are the most useful. So see his usefulness. It's just immense, isn't it? We've already seen he was a prophet like no other that ever came after him. And look, he went and he served. He had this ministry, this immense ministry. The signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land. This land of strangers, this foreign land. Moses went to redeem God's people. He went sent by God. The people who are face to face with God are sent out by God. Sent on big tasks to move forward God's future. Verse 12, all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror or majesty or strength that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Notice he's going out amongst the people, whether it be the strangers of Egypt, whether it is the people of Israel, he's going out. And he's going out serving, bringing the reality of God into their situation. Looks pretty big, I'd say, verses 11 and 12. Looks pretty big. Some big stuff going on. What's the Lord sending you out to do? And you say, I don't know. Well, I might possibly suggest then you need to get face to face back with God. Because the general thing is, if you're face to face with God, you're going to be sent out on big business.
Was it the phrase of Martin Luther? Whether it's been a kind of adopted and adapted down through history, but he said something along the lines that I'm so busy today, I've got so much to do that I've got to spend at least 4 hours in prayer. You see, he'd got it, hadn't he? He says we only serve out of fellowship, you see. We serve out of fellowship with God, out of the living reality of God. What's Feltham Evangelical Church going to be in 2020? We will be nothing if we do not live out our lives in fellowship with God, if we do not serve from fellowship with God and knowing God, we will be nothing. You say, well, why does Feltham Evangelical Church have times of prayer? Why do we have our Friday evenings once a month? We give a special extra time. Why do we have weeks of prayer and fasting coming up, starting a week today? Because we want to be pushing back to God. We want to be immersing our church in God, that we push back to Him face to face, that we might live out with power. Else you're nothing. So, dare I say, I would unashamedly, why I have some responsibility here, just saying, we've got to do it. We've got to push back to God individually and together. And it's not a cop out saying, well, there's so much to do. It's actually the essence of starting things to do. It's to push back to God personally, collectively. And Satan wants us to stop our prayer meetings. He'd love it if we wouldn't attend the prayer meetings here. If you can't get connected into the life of the church and the prayings of the church, you've got to be considering whether you actually should be in the church, because it's the heart of the church. Face to face is where it all starts. And big things flow from there. I believe, brothers and sisters, we're just not expecting enough. Are we having a big impact upon Feltham yet? Are we? I suggest not. Is the church having a big impact in this land at the moment? I suggest not. Happened a few years ago, and it's always stuck with me. In fact, I could probably take you to the place. Matt Bater, who used to be the assistant pastor here, we were coming away from a conference where the word of God had been preached appropriately and properly. There had been singing, but he said this. I believe these were his words. He says, there's got to be more than that. There's got to be more than that. And what he was driving at, there's got to be more of just a reality of knowing the God and His working and His power and just the sense that He is the mighty God and He doesn't just rest lightly on our souls. That our souls are being grabbed by the power of God. And we are seeing that He is the mighty one. And we're seeing His flow out into big works of service. Moses lived and served. Will we live and serve? We've got a great God. We've got a great Savior. We've got great good news. We've got the message that rescues humanity. We've got a message which gives delight to our souls and fulfillment and purpose. Moses got involved, but it all flowed out from being face to face with the Lord. So Moses was a great man. Moses is now gone. Moses lived and served and then he died. But the future goes on. The future goes on. A new year dawns, God willing, on Wednesday. What will the new year bring? Well, we trust fundamentally in this church, it will bring God's future. May it be so. And may we all rise up to go and be a part of that future. A big future. A Christ-centered, God-focused future. And in that way, we will have a very healthy and a very happy 2020. Let's sing our final hymn together this morning. There is a day that all creation's waiting for. It's up our theme, really, of passing out of this world. Theme of God working out everything, controlling everything, having a final point for everything. A day when his honor and glory will be seen in all of its fullness. Let's stand and sing this great hymn.